Welcome to you all. The heater is on, you're here, warm welcome. We are God's people, the community of Christ, living compassion and hope in this moment and in this place. We gather to worship our God, to uphold one another in prayer, and to be bound to each other in friendship, concern, and awareness. We come as a community, bound by the Spirit who calls us to be vital, vibrant people, forward-looking, alert, ready to bring healing and wholeness to the world. Let us sing. Now, if you've got What a Friend We Have in Jesus in your head, because Digby thoughtfully played it to you on the piano, good.
It's actually a guitar.
Bring on rock of guitar, that's right. What was that word I used in the call to worship? Vibrant, vibrant people. Alert. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's alert. That's good. I can remember a friend. I won't tell you that joke. I'll tell you later. That's okay. Let's sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let's go. Standing up, sitting down, whatever you want to do, just open your mouth. Perfect time. It's like watching a scene from the Muppets, where all the puppets are going like this. It is incredible. You are all together. We are all together. We are a bunch of people all together. That is fantastic. So we should have a poll now to see if somebody's hands, are they a one, pretty cold like Rob's, or are they a five, pretty warm like Uncle Laurie's not here today. His hands are always warm. So a rating. My fingers are always cool, but yeah, that's okay. Jesus' name above all names. What a nice song to sing. You can sit and sing this song. Oh, you can stand if you want to, but I can think it'd be a lovely song to just sit and think of those words. Jesus, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, glorious Lord. Love that part. If you're going to sing nothing else, sing that part really, really well. I love that part. Let's sing. So, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Blessed, ready, 1, 2. Times like this, well, it's times like when we're singing together. I really appreciate the fact that we've all got different talents and we are singing all different parts and singing harmonies, and even if you're not a harmony singer, which somebody is amazing, she's an amazing harmony singer if you haven't worked that out, but that is just amazing. So welcome, warm welcome, welcome again, welcome still, welcome to Olivia. How good is that? Welcome to Digby, Jan, Shelley, all of you. If I could go through, it would take too long and then I would be told off for taking too long. But we welcome you. We welcome you to us today, 7th of June. Nearly got the date wrong, but that's okay. Special to be here. Circle of Friends is this Tuesday the 9th, 1:30 for ladies. Cuppa and a chat and something to think about and share. For men's, women, men's Wednesday night dinner. That's Wednesday the 17th, so it's not this week. And Pantry 152, there is a list in the grapevine this week, so if you could put that list, grab that list from the grapevine, put it somewhere special to use as a reminder when you shop this week. Adrian, could we have a reading for today, please? Readings.
Good morning. The first reading this morning comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Verses 1 to 11, living as those made alive in Christ. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. The second reading comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21, the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." This is the word of the Lord.
Our prayer of confession. Let us pray. God of all, we admit that we often chase after worldly treasures. We desire more power, more stuff, more privilege. We repent of these evil desires. Lead us away from our greed into your peace. Teach us to walk in your ways and delight in your paths instead of following those of our own creation. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. Amen. And our words of assurance: comfort, comfort you, my people. God tells us of peace. Our sins have been covered in God's mercy and forgiveness. Through the work of Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As an intro to Shelley's words today, Shelley's sermon, let us sing "Open the Eyes of My Heart." Open the eyes of my heart. Makes you think, doesn't it? There's a reason why songs have words. Makes you think. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I want to see you.
God is holy, and it is my prayer that we come to see him more today and with each day thereafter. The reading, the gospel reading this morning was concerned with greed. Greed is an ugly thing. I think we all recognise greed in others and can see its destructive impact both on those who are greedy and on those who miss out because of the greed of others. Being openly greedy for money is something we would all try to avoid. I'm quite sure about that. We heard in his letter to Colossians, Paul said in verse 5, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." It's a bit of a sort of a throwaway line there, isn't it? We're to get rid of a number of things which we all know are bad, and also greed. And in case we don't realise exactly why greed is bad, Paul tells us greed, which is idolatry. Greed is idolatry because it means that instead of worshipping God and giving God first place, we are worshipping the thing, whether it be food or money or anything else we are greedy for. We're giving that first place, giving that priority, giving something else priority before God. In the gospel reading from Luke 12, we heard that reply of Jesus to the man in the crowd who called out, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, this man obviously felt that the inheritance had been unfairly given to his brother, and that surely Jesus, as a just and fair teacher, would be able to tell his brother that he had to share. And what did Jesus reply? "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" And then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions." It wasn't really a kind reply, was it? You don't actually hear any sympathy in that response. At best, we could see it as a gentle reply, that Jesus was saying he wasn't in a position to sort out this inheritance issue because that wasn't what he was there for. And he starts by saying, "Man," of course he's not speaking in English. We could read that word "man" in several different ways. The J.B. Phillips translation translates it as "my dear man." So that's probably quite nice, unless it's not, you know, "my dear man." But, you know, it softens the blow a bit, maybe, if you see it in that light. Eugene Peterson translates it as "Mr." Well, was it a sarcastic title? And another translation uses "sir," which does sound a bit more respectful. So it could be that indeed it was the correct and polite form of address when speaking to a man that you didn't know back in those times. But then, after Jesus said, "Man, who gave me the authority to be the judge and arbiter between you?" Jesus immediately goes on to warn the whole crowd to be on their guard against all kinds of greed. And he reminds them that life does not consist of an abundance of possessions. Now, at this point, I'm wondering whether the man has slunk away. Not the answer he was hoping for, I reckon. But rather than feeling sorry for the man, I think we can rest assured that Jesus understood exactly what was going on in that man's head. He heard the man's request. He looked into the man's eyes and the man's heart, and he got straight to it. He saw that greed was driving this man's request. And in fact, it actually wasn't really a request when you look at it. Did you notice he actually said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance"? He was actually using the imperative. He wasn't asking Jesus, he was ordering him. Now, I have never inherited anything. Both my parents came from families without money, and my parents never talked about money. And I was always amazed when I heard other people talk about how much they would inherit when their grandparents died or when their parents died. So I was naive about that. It wasn't part of my consciousness. It's about to become part of my consciousness, I might say. However, the older I've become, the more I have seen how expecting an inheritance or being denied an inheritance can become almost an obsession with some people. I can hear some mms there. And I think this was the case for the man who called out to Jesus. It was so unfair. All he wanted was justice. No, actually, all he wanted was money. And you will all have stories. I can see it on your faces that you will all have stories about how things turned ugly after a friend or a relative died and the will wasn't fair or wasn't what people expected. Stories of wills being contested and money and possessions being fought over. Things are said that cannot be unsaid. Relationships are fractured that are never mended. All over money. Now, a family I once knew had a situation where, after the death of the grandmother, two separate wakes had to be held. Her children were not speaking to each other. Now, I believe I have it on good authority that this was over a tea set and a fur coat. And as far as I know, that rift was never healed. In another family that I know well, the patriarch has excluded his own children from his will because he dislikes his daughter-in-law. And he said to me, "This is the only way to ensure that she'll never get her hands on my money." When I remarked that it felt as if money was very important to him, he became very angry with me. In another family I know well, one distant relative was very annoyed to hear that another, much closer relative, was a beneficiary of the will. And the distant relative said to me, "And I get nothing. I do so much for the family, even though I'm not a beneficiary." And that felt like the same sense of injustice felt by the man asking Jesus to arbitrate. But behind it lay a sense of entitlement, of having earned part of the inheritance. What if none of us left any inheritance for our children, but gave away all our money to charity? Sometimes I think that society has set family up as the idol to whom all must be given and to whom all allegiance is owed. Should we leave money for our family who have their own jobs and homes when our money could do so much good if it were given to charity? Well, that's something to think about. That is what I'm doing, and I've told my children and they've seen my will, and it's all clear and above board. But getting back to the point Jesus was making, we are to be on our guard against greed. That's because it is a sneaky enemy. We don't always recognise it. We feel justified in demanding our share. We don't realise that we're making money our idol. And Jesus reminds us again that life does not consist of an abundance of possessions. None of us think that it does. But the point that Jesus is making is that, in fact, we sometimes act as if it does, and our actions are speaking louder than our words. Jesus then goes on to tell the parable of the rich man who piled up his possessions, and he finishes by saying that the rich man will die and won't have the benefit of all that he has hoarded. And then that last comment, Jesus says, "This will be how it is for whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God." So my point this morning is that we are called to be generous with all that we have, to be generous with our time and our talents, to be generous with our love and forgiveness, to be generous with our money and possessions. We don't know how long we're here for, and we know we can't take it with us. We are to be rich towards God, Jesus says, which means giving generously to others, to charity, and the church too. So on a side note there, our church that sustains and nurtures us is an organisation that runs on the donations of others, of members. And if we're part of the church, we all give generously so that the church can continue being church. We're coming towards the end of the financial year, and so you will have received a letter about our planned giving program for the next financial year. But I'm not talking about that today. I just want to remind us that we're to be generous in all ways. If we are generous with everything except money, then that's a rather telling fact about the limits on our generosity. Jesus is not speaking about church giving, of course. He's talking about the root cause of ungenerosity, of meanness of spirit. And the root cause is greed, which is idolatry. He warns us not to store up things for ourselves, but to be generous. And then we will know the freedom of not being enslaved by the love of money. You know the saying in the Bible, people misquote it and say, it says, money is the root of all evil. And of course, we all know it doesn't say that. It says, the love of money is the root of all evil. In our Colossians 3 reading, Paul said, you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge on the image of its creator. So we set our sights on God and his kingdom, not on worldly wealth. We are made in the image of God. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, as Psalm 139 tells us. Money is not our God. Money and possessions are just things that can be useful, things that can be shared, things that can make everyone's life better, but we don't worship those things, we share those things, and we need to be on guard against all kinds of greed because it can sneak up on us. So this week, why not think about the place money and possessions hold in your life? Perhaps you can think of ways to loosen their hold on you, to free yourself from the trap of giving money too high a place in your living and thinking. Perhaps you can work out new ways to be generous. This probably won't work, but perhaps if you hear people arguing about someone's will and whether the beneficiaries are entitled to what they'll receive, you can ask some hard questions instead of just agreeing about how unfair it all is. Here's some suggestions along the lines of the examples I used earlier. You could say, it seems money is very important to you, and watch as they get angry. You could say, yes, we should only do things for people if we're going to end up with something from their will, and then watch them turn and argue the opposite. You could say, we all know how life does not consist of an abundance of possessions. Isn't it funny how we act as if it does sometimes? We are called to be Christ's ambassadors here on earth. We are called to be salt and light. We are called to spread the light and love of God wherever we go. We have taken off our old self and put on our new self, which is constantly being renewed. So let us live into our calling as new creations. Let's make sure we're worshipping God and not making an idol out of money and possessions. Let's be generous with all we have, because after all, who does it belong to? It all belongs to God. In the name of Christ, amen. I invite the musicians to come back up the front.
Prayer first, don't we? Was Ian? Ian's worked out a prayer.
Ian will lead us in prayer and then we will sing a song.
Before I lead us in our prayers for ourselves and others, I invite us all to pause for a few moments and to consider who are the people and what are the situations that are heavy upon our hearts today. Let us pray. Generous and loving and forgiving God, we come to you now with our prayers for ourselves and others. As we receive from you. So we are bold to bring before you our concerns. And we pray for the world, remembering particularly those places which are disturbed by warfare and internal revolt. Some national leaders, Lord, are committed to expanding territory and gaining influence and acquiring extra resources by violent means. And when innocent civilians fear for their lives and are having their possessions destroyed by bombs and missiles and drones, we pray that diplomatic efforts to end the wars will be successful. We pray for goodwill from all those who meet together, for mediators who work with all the warring parties to find the compromises that can be negotiated successfully. And so all the innocent may find peace and hope for their future. We pray particularly for the nations of Russia and Ukraine, for Israel, Lebanon, Iran, and the USA, for the Gulf states of Oman, the UAE, Kuwait, and other nations nearby. We pray for an end to the disputes and the factional fighting that happens with less publicity in African nations or in Bolivia and Venezuela in South America and in some Asian countries which are closer to us but we don't hear about so much. We pray for effective funding and resources to fight diseases like the outbreak of Ebola in the Democratic Republic of the Congo and in the other places where that virus has escaped or may escape. We pray that we may have compassion to respond to the needs of those who are not like us, who don't come upon our radar often, but who are still beloved by you, who creates all of humanity, regardless of nationality, race, language, financial means, or religious belief. Today we also pray for our nation of Australia and for this state of South Australia, and for those people whom we do not know, but who live around us, and or in suburbs and localities that are more distant. Many of these people with names not known by us, but who you know, O God, have similar issues to those that we have. They want productive work, refreshing leisure, sufficient finances to live comfortably, with nutritious food, shelter from cold and storms and floods or droughts, and people around them to love and to be loved by. Grant to each of us the means to respond effectively to help meet the needs of those who struggle. Not just a few, but all those who have a struggle to live. We pray for our political leaders who've been elected to local, state and federal governments and councils and are charged with the responsibility of managing finances, helping those who struggle and who themselves struggle daily with making those difficult decisions as they pass laws that will of course be full of compromises. May these leaders govern for the benefit of all citizens, not just those who have elected them. May they not seek exceptional personal reward, but serve sacrificially on behalf of all their constituents. And loving God, we pray for all those people who are in transition from a place of stability to uncertainty, from having a body that works well to one that is no longer in pain or no longer is pain or disease free. And we pray for those we know who are travelling, whether that's by choice or because they have to leave and move to somewhere new, where they will experience new scenery, perhaps new cultures, new ideas. And we pray especially for those for whom these changes are not their first choice. Give to them the courage to continue their life's journey and to discover the blessings of hope as they travel. And God of compassion, we pray particularly for those who are homeless, who are struggling to find shelter when it's cold and wet and lonely. We pray particularly today for those who care for the vulnerable, the aged, the young, those who struggle to support their family, those who are frail in aged care facilities, perhaps recovering in hospitals or at home, waiting for test results, uncertain whether their treatment will bring healing, more uncertainty, or a move to a hospice. Be with all the staff who care for them, Lord, so they can be comforted and find peace, hope, and love. And God of forgiveness and hope, we pray too for ourselves and our loved ones. You already know our needs, yet we are encouraged to, in faith, lay before you once again those personal needs that we may be too proud or too timid to share with others. Bless us with prayer. Hear all our prayers and give to us the grace to accept whatever answers you choose, especially when that means that in the days and months ahead we may have further pain or disappointment or grief. And so in this time of silence, we pray that in faith you will hear these our prayers that we share with you in silence, our prayers for ourselves and our loved ones. May we discover the power and the love and the grace that we can receive through our faith in Jesus, our living Lord. And for those for whom that is not the present reality, bless them anyway, and grant to us all your peace and blessings. These are our prayers. We ask them in and through the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We'll sing Feed Us Now as a preparation for communion, and the offering will be brought forward as we finish that and then move into communion. So let's feed us now, sitting down and...
Yeah.
Thanks for your provision for us. We acknowledge that our lives belong to you. We now offer back to you a portion of what you have given us. Prepare our journey, guide our footsteps, and watch over us on every path that we follow. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. This is my second communion service with you. And I learnt something in the last one, which is that the way I did it was the way I did it in my last church, which is not the way you normally do it. And I've been told by everybody, that's fine, just tell us how we're doing it and we don't mind changing. Well, I'm the same. I don't mind changing. And so what we're going to do today is I will do the normal things that we do, and then the servers will come forward and they will serve you the bread. Don't eat it. And then once they've come back and I've served them and they've served me, we will all eat the bread together, and then we'll follow the same procedure with the cup, and you'll all hold your cups, we'll serve each other here, and then we will all drink together. Also, before we start, in case we have any visitors or people who are unclear, we regard this as the Lord's table, not ours, and the Lord invites all who want to follow him and know him more to come to this table. So we do not make a rule about excluding people. Everyone is welcome to take part. You will be served the bread and the cup in your seats, and I've just explained the procedure. There are gluten-free wafers in the middle of each plate of bread, and the wine, of course, is alcohol-free. And there are many reasons why that's so, but one very important reason is because we want to be inclusive of people who are gluten-free, inclusive of people who don't wish to partake of alcohol. And so the feast is for everyone. In every age, Christ, the compassionate healer, calls all people to hear the gospel, to celebrate the sacraments of the new covenant, and to build one another up in faith, in hope, and in love. And so, my friends, as Jesus shared meals in many different places with many different people, making the ordinary things in life, this bread and wine, making these things extraordinary, so we too shall share a meal in memory of him. The peace of the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And so we praise you, loving God, with the faithful of every time and place, thanking you that you are not a distant God, but one who communicates to your people anew, speaking words of compassion, love, and forgiveness for reconciliation and healing. Therefore, together with our loved ones who have gone before us and those who have sought you, O Lord, in every time and generation, we join in the eternal hymn of thanksgiving said by all nations on earth. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And so we hear the words of this sacrament as recorded by the Apostle Paul, who wrote, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then after supper, in the same way, he took the cup and offered it to them, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus gave himself so that we may know that God's love is stronger than evil, and God's love is stronger than death, for God's love is eternal. As we eat the bread of new life and drink from the cup of compassion, we too share in the saving death of Jesus Christ and in his resurrection to eternal life and in his promise to be with us forevermore. Let us pray. Loving God, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, may this meal become holy and your people become one. Unite us in faith. Inspire us to love. Encourage us with hope that we may nourish the life of Christ that is within each one of us. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup we take is a sharing in the life of Christ. May we receive this holy sacrament with thankful hearts through Jesus, our Saviour and Redeemer. Amen. The service would like to come forward now. Thank you. I remind you that you take the bread and hold on to it, and we'll all eat together. Body of Christ broken for us, let us eat and be thankful. The lifeblood of Christ shed for us, let us drink and be thankful. For your gifts of healing and forgiveness, for grace to love and care for one another, for your hidden blessings, and for your generosity, we give you thanks through Jesus Christ, our beloved Saviour. Amen. Now I invite the musicians to come forward again, and I think for the last song, you need to know there are 6 verses, so hold yourselves in reserve. And we've chosen this one specially because it talks about giving our all to God, who has given his all to us.
Yep. So maybe we stand up for the last one, eh? So that'll mean that everybody's got a little bit in reserve. So punch the air. Come on. Thinking of a different song. Because you played God's Bill song, that was in my head. It's not your fault, it's not your fault.
Because I thought it's not four.
It's my crazy head. No, it is four, isn't it?
So let's go.
3-4.
3-4, yeah, I'm playing the wrong tune. 1, 2, 3. Here we go.
God has called us to be a people of peace. God has called us to be a people of generosity. Let us go from this place as bearers of this peace and as bearers of this generosity. May we follow Christ's way more nearly every day. Go in peace. He is with us. Amen.
Amen. myself.